Modern and postmodern philosophers continue the sceptical conceit according to which philosophers affect disaffection from philosophy. Traditionally, this is the way in which philosophy reclaims its originality. Postmodern philosophers are in deadly, unironic earnest. Philosophy, they claim, is revenge for the unbridgeable distance between thought or language and concrete being. Metaphysics is spleen at the diversity and difference of beings. Ethics is the violent domination of the troubling otherness of the other. Postmodern philosophers say that philosophy is founded on the totalitarian ideal of Camelot, whereas philosophy is born out of the sadness of the king, to whom it offers the consolation of reflection. Previously, modern philosophical irrationalism was seen retrospectively by philosophers and historians as the source of the racist and totalitarian movements of the 20th century. Now, philosophical reason itself is seen by postmodern philosophers as the general scourge of Western history. To reason's division of the real into the rational and the irrational is attributed the fatal manichaeism and imperialism of the West. This decision by the intellectuals that reason itself has ruined modern life and should be dethroned and banned in the name of its silenced others is comparable to the decision to stop small children, girls and boys, from playing with guns, pugnacious video games or any violent toys. This brutally sincere, enlightened probity, which thinks it will stop war and aggression, in effect aggravates their propensity. This decision evinces loss of trust in the way that play, fairy stories, terrifying films, teaches the difference between fantasy and actuality. The child who is able to explore that border will feel safe in experiencing violent inner emotional conflict and will acquire compassion for other people. The child who is locked away from aggressive experiment and play will be left terrified and paralyzed by its emotions, unable to realize or face them, for they may destroy the world and him or herself. The censor aggravates the syndrome she seeks to alleviate. She seeks to rub out in others the border which she has effaced inside herself. Philosophers who blame philosophy for the ills of civilization have themselves lost the ability to perceive the difference between thought and being, thought and action. It is they who expunge the difference between fantasy and actuality, between the megalomania projected onto reason and the irreverent forces which determine the outcome of actual conflicts. They have inflated the power of philosophical reason, conferring on it a supposititious, dangerous potency. It is the philosophers, not reason, who thereby degrade the independence of political realities and contingencies. Terrified of their own inner insecurity at the border between rationality and conflict, between the new academic political Protestantism and politics as the art of the possible, they proceed as if to terminate philosophy would be to dissolve the difficulty of acknowledging conflict and of staking oneself within it. To destroy philosophy, to abolish or to supersede critical, self-conscious reason would leave us resourceless to know the difference between fantasy and actuality, to discern the distortion between ideas and their realization. It would prevent the process of learning, the corrigibility of experience. This ill will towards philosophy misunderstands the authority of reason, which is not the mirror of the dogma of superstition, but risk. Reason, the critical criterion, is forever without ground.